All right, right now, we're going to the featured guests on the show tonight. Consider him a friend, colleague, have known him a number of years. You know him as a former U.S. national team player, Fox analyst. He's Eric Winalda now, running for U.S. soccer president. Eric, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. We're always friends. Friends first.
Yes, of course. That's just that's what Bud Light says, too. It's not about the beer. It's about making friends. So great to have you on. So, you know, we have about 12 minutes, so I want to get right to it with you, and I want to give you a platform here, and I want to do a little back and forth with you. So why run for U.S. soccer president?
Well, I mean, I think when you look at the whole landscape of it and what's going on in the country, I've told several people that I've been watching this from afar for about 20 years, just hoping that it was going to get better. And it's not that we had to be put in a spot where we didn't qualify for a World Cup and everything needed to change. It's been going down the wrong track for a while. So it's been a concern of mine. And I just feel that this is a time to really, you know, roll up your sleeves and see if you can make a difference. And we've had some really productive meetings over the last couple of weeks. And I think the country understands that we need to change. I think the organizations within the framework of the business of soccer in this country understand there needs to be change in some direction. So I think I'm the guy to do it.
Eric, do you think U.S. Soccer, MLS, all the important entities that really have a lot of the major decision-making when it comes to our sport in this country, are they ready to be a little bit less of a closed society and allow the ideas and attitudes and personalities of others to come in and come to the table?
You'd hope so, but I'm not taking anything for granted. And I feel that this is part of the challenge. I do believe that it's not that we have new ideas here, Glenn. The problem is that we haven't really taken the historical perspective into consideration here. The rest of the world does things very differently, and we've decided to do things our own way. We've hit some tripwire here, and we've certainly put up some of our own blockades. That we need to just understand that there might be a better way. So these are conversations that you have with owners. These are conversations that you have with the people of influence in this country, and I think the message is starting to get across. However, it's going to be time. It's going to take a real plan of action with and being able to execute that plan for people to really see the light. And because we've done things one way for a long time, and change sometimes scares the hell out of people. I think that's going to be the challenge if we're going to ever get this country on track.
Are people getting protective and protecting their turf now with a lot of these new personalities? Eric Winalda, Kyle Martino, you know, ex-players now getting into the fold, because at times, you know, some of the ex-players have been kept at arm's length, haven't they?
Yeah, I would say yes and no. I mean, I think there actually has been a very condescending approach to athletes, and that's what we're called. We're not even called soccer players. We're called athletes. When we try to voice an opinion, and I think that there are a couple of things that people need to understand. Everyone's concerned about the business of soccer, and then they wonder if an ex-player can even handle it. My point might be, Glenn, that we've never really done the real business of soccer in this country. We've always done it our own way, but the real business is not happening. I mean, there's not another candidate in this race that's ever run or an organization the way I have as a sporting director in Atlanta, turning a team from 4-29-10 into a championship team. That's the kind of leadership that's kind of misunderstood. That if you understand how soccer should be and how you can actually make real change and have an organization understand its direction and its vision and get better in a hurry, that's kind of what we need right now. That's exactly what we need. And, you know, some of the things that I'd like to implement, I think I can turn this thing around pretty quickly. I don't need an 8-year plan. That's my point.
Eric,
I probably need 8 months.
Eric Winalda, running for president of U.S. soccer. Well, how does that occur? And I know that's a long-ended. Give us the Cliff Notes version of how you think you can change ideology, change things. In this country, you know, everybody and their mother came out and said, well, we got to get rid of pay for play. Well, good luck doing that. I want to see the guy who can go out to the $150,000 a year coaching director and talk to him about trying to change how he makes his living, which ultimately leads to, you know, decisions with young soccer players that are made for the wrong reasons. So, you know, in a nutshell, give me a couple of things that you think you could change without getting too heavy into it, because I know you don't have a lot of time to really get into all of it.
Well, no, it's fair enough. I mean, I think the cultural problem that we have is we don't understand the importance of what a club is. And, you know, we wonder sometimes if our guys that end up playing for our national team really want to understand what that means to play for the shirt. And the truth is, if you teach kids, or you at least have a better understanding of what exactly is a club, and I was with US Club yesterday, I really was impressed with some of their ideology, because they are teaching kids the right way to stay within the framework of a club, with a philosophy, to have their coaches all on the same page. But that, you see, that's the better way to prepare and develop kids, through a weekly schedule, through training and a game on the weekend. What are we doing? We're trying to prepare kids for professional soccer. Okay, then let's emulate professional soccer. And I think that's a cultural thing. But the big picture here, Glenn, is whoever takes over needs to really understand the importance of getting everybody on the same page, with having a vision and being able to bring people together. Right now, it's too fragmented. And it's going to take some real leadership to bring it all back together.
I do like that. And I also do know that there are coaching directors out there now going, wait a minute, we're already doing that. Eric doesn't know what we're doing.
Well, sometimes, no, I think that they are doing it. But, you know, when you look at some of the clubs out there who aren't doing that, this is where this gets weird. This is where some coaches go about it the wrong way. They pull the heartstrings of those parents, and they try to coerce them into doing, you know, playing too much sometimes. Where you have dual cards. You have to drive 6 hours to a tournament because you're going to get seen by the. This is your only shot, and you got to pay through the nose to do it. Those are some of the problems that I don't like. I think when you look at that Pulisic story, his dad basically said it. He said, "Oh, he trained on Tuesday, trained on Thursday, played on Saturday." That's it. He didn't play 5 games in a weekend with the offset hope that somebody would discover him. What ends up happening when you do that, Glenn, is you have a kid pacing himself, and he never really goes all the way, never gives you his full effort. And what you end up walking away with is the idea that this kid can only go to 70%. That's not true. We're not really, you know, putting our kids through the right kind of competition within their comfort zones and evaluating them on their abilities. That's the way this needs to get better. Pay for play is a weird thing. But asking people to stay in hotels, you know, for 2 nights and mandate that they do that just so they can participate, that's the real problem with pay-to-play.
No, and a lot of these kids, one or two showcases is going to determine what they do in college. There's a tremendous amount of pressure just on those singular events. But we could get into that. Having done the youth thing for 13 years, there's great positives about it. There's also a lot of negatives. By the way, you know, the pay-for-play model in Houston, Texas, actually began in like 1983 and 84 with Roy Reese, who did go on to be our under-17 national coach. And then when I got done playing, I just pretty much mimicked kind of what he was doing. Now, the amount of dollars was not anywhere near anything that there is today. I mean, I think I made $30,000 as a guy, you know, trying to build and run a soccer club, and I loved every minute of it. And lived at the fields, essentially. But
right.
Anyway, enough about my stuff. Let me get back to you. If you got into the position, what's the first thing you do?
Well, I think one of the big hot topics is the one that is going to get me in the most hot water. Even bringing up the idea of promotion and relegation will get you nowhere with the professional entities that exist right now. But I do think that structure is necessary at the professional level. We have two functioning second divisions. Who else in the world has that? There is not a direct line for these kids and these young soccer players who are trying to have a professional career, whether that be the fourth, third, second to first. That tiered system doesn't exist, and it needs to, because if we're expecting the youth organizations to comply and to actually emulate something that makes sense to them, then we got to figure out the pro game first. I do think our schedule needs to change. We got to get on the FIFA calendar if we're going to really take this thing to the next level. That's an entirely different conversation. But the pro game needs to get fixed first. Clearly, the youth is going to be a long, drawn-out conversation, but there's little alterations that need to be made along the way, especially with the academy stuff. But the pro game needs to get fixed first. We can't afford to miss out on another World Cup.
All right, sitting on the pro game here, Eric, let's talk about Major League Soccer. They're entrusted now with developing with – their academies and their USL teams, which are essentially reserve teams, the elite soccer player in the United States. Would you agree with that, number one? And then number two, what I wish we could see is I wish we could see some transparency and find out how many resources are actually being put into these teams when it comes to player development. Who's taking it the most serious from 1 to 23 in Major League Soccer?
Well, that's a great question. And the reality is it's the environment that you create. When you talk about the youth level trying to create those club-centric, player-centric atmospheres for our kids, or those environments for our kids, that's where we're going to get better. It's the clubs with the professional level that have that full integrated system, that they have the ability to have 16, 17, 18-year-old kids participate with the professional team. Anybody that's ever been anybody will tell you that when you were 16, 17 years old and you had that opportunity to train with the first team and you had to make that jump, and sure, you got beat up a little bit and maybe you missed a step or you were a step behind, but you learned so much so fast. The teams and the clubs who are integrating that kind of philosophy are going to be the ones that develop players quicker. They'll have professional players. We won't have to say, well, they got a long way to go, or they're just not ready yet. Having that kind of integration with your academy straight into your first team and your reserve team allows players to grow quicker. So who does it the best? I think right now, if you look at Greg Vanney and Bill Manning and what they've been able to do in Toronto, they're going to see if they get through tonight. But the truth is, what that academy system is proving, or at least with their players and the integration that the way they're doing it, Dallas isn't too bad either. Houston is right behind them. So the teams that are getting it right.
Hold on. Houston's behind them. They've only developed one player down here.
I know, but I said they're behind them.
Oh. At the back end. I got you.
Yeah, no, they're way behind. But the reality is that they're trying. And maybe this hit and miss and figure it out process will be something that they can look to others. You look, Glenn, one of the greatest things that Germany does is they exchange information. They talk to each other. Every single team in the first and second division in Germany meets biannually with the federation. And they sit down and they talk about players. They talk about, what are you guys doing? Well, what are you doing? How are you doing things differently? Okay, what worked for you? What didn't work? And they're all on the same page.
But can you be the guy that brings people together to understand that shared information is a great thing from a player development standpoint? And yes, we're in competition. But on the other side of it, in the big picture, we do need to share more practices and just be, you know, a little bit more transparent and open with each other.
Yes. Transparency is, look, is it sharing, you know, trade ideas? I mean, yeah, to a certain extent. But the reality is we have to understand the federation's role is to assist our clubs to make them as great as they can possibly be. But the end goal in all of this is to be a better soccer nation. And until we get everybody on the same page with that idea that we're all in this together, yeah, you're competing against each other, and on Saturday you can hate each other all you like. But the reality is we need to start figuring out ways that we can help each other become become a better soccer nation. It's the only way the level will go up. It's the only way competition will get better, and it's the only way our players can make that jump from the professional level straight into the national team if we're all on the same page. It's going to be a huge challenge, but I think it's important.
Now, I know you read the book, Das Reboot. We all have. Wasn't one of the big messages in that the way that the federation worked with the professional clubs on down to the youth clubs?
I saw it firsthand. I mean, that's
you lived it, right?
Is probably one of the one things that when you look at it, it's logic. It makes sense. You know, they strayed away from that when you get back to the Euros, when I guess this is closer to 16, 17 years ago. But, you know, the Germans figured out that they were trying to build academies around foreign talent. And what they recognized is, okay, this might take some time, but we need to invest in us. We need to invest in our own players to make sure that we have better talent coming out that will eventually represent our country when it matters. That's something that we need to do. That's very clear. If I'm going to encapsulate all this into one sentence, it's time for us as a federation to reinvest in us, to put the money, to figure out a way to reallocate some of that money that will help these clubs assist their players, develop in the right way, exchange information, and become a better soccer nation. That's about as best I can say.
He's Eric Winalda joining us here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Eric, if you were to become the U.S. soccer president, technical director, do you have a couple of names in mind you'd be thinking of?
Absolutely. I don't know if it's wise to share, but, you know, I think looking at what we've been able to do and where how far we've come, we still need to understand that as far as technical director, which is a very integral part of this, there needs to be more of a committee, to be honest, that allows us to make sure that just as we do this with the professional level, that their job is to essentially keep everybody on the right trajectory. But I think when it comes to the 20s, to the 23s, to the full national team, all the way down to 17, that message has got to be clean and through. It can't be scattered. And just like you want, you know, the academy systems to have a reserve team that gets the kids to the pros, you want to have 17s wanting to be the 20s, the 20s wanting to be in the Olympics, and the Olympic team wanting to be on the national team. It has to be a clean message. So, absolutely.
So, speaking of the under-20s and under-17s, I think you and I might have done a couple of games, and we did see yes. tremendous talent at both the under-20 and under-17 age level, and recently doing the under-17s when they were in India. I'm looking at these guys that are on MLS rosters, and I'm going, the next 2 years are so vital for these guys right. to get some real opportunity. Yet I don't see coaches in Major League Soccer that brave. I see some of them, but my real fear for those kids, and John Hackworth even echoed it, is what is going to happen to them in the next 2 years. So how do we get coaches to be incentivized to use the youth in Major League Soccer?
Well, I mean, I don't know why they're not. I mean, where is the pressure? I mean, honestly, where is the pressure? There's no promotion or relegation, and you're not going to play a 17, 18-year-old kid who's had a good week. There's no reward. You don't the kids create their own opportunity when they show up to practice and they prove to their coach that they belong. But if they never get that opportunity, you watch what happens to them. You know, they've pushed it. They've pushed it 3, 4, 5 weeks. They don't get their shot. They start to taper off, and they just say, oh, the coach doesn't like me, and now what? The other problem with that, Glenn, is look at what Germany's doing. Germany's recognizing that we have got so much talent in this country, and they're coming over here and stealing it. You know, Weston McKennie is a great example. Sargent's another, of course, but Pulisic went on his own. But there's going to be more.
Yeah, but isn't a handful of those guys going over there? That's healthy. I would think we would always want some of that because we want players to gain some other perspective. I don't see why we all get so sensitive when we lose some players to Germany. I mean, why are we getting sensitive?
I don't know why. I'm not sensitive at all to it. I welcome it. But
I mean, look, Jurgen Klinsmann, one thing we have to admit, he pushed players to go to Europe. And I don't know if it was every player, but I didn't understand why people were getting upset with that. Because it made MLS look bad? I didn't get it.
In their minds, the perception was that, you know, I'm not going to bring his name up, but I couldn't believe he said it. He said, we can no longer afford to send our stars to Europe to sit on the bench. And it is such a silly statement because you say, well, wait a second. They're not stars then. If they were a star, they would play. You know, so that frame of mind, that mentality alone is scaring me. If there is a better opportunity, and you have a young player who has showed, and we've showcased him here in Major League Soccer, and let's say it's June, and somebody comes over and says, we'll give you $2 million, that's when you have the opportunity, as I've said before, to do the real business. Let the kid go. Let him go.
But I would think you would want that as a part of your future all the time. You always want some players to be going and getting different experience in different leagues around the world to add to Major League Soccer and the national team, ultimately.
Absolutely. I mean, look, and this is the thing. If we sit here and handcuff ourselves and we don't engage in the real business of soccer, if we continue to have a schedule that plays right through the summer months and then we have a nervous GM and a nervous coach that can't let a guy go because he can't replace him in time, that's we're not doing a service to ourselves. We're actually, you know, setting up the roadblocks and for those opportunities when they come. So that's an explanation. That's something that the Federation can certainly have its influence with Major League Soccer, with Don Garber, with the owners, to explain to them, hey, look, guys, there's a better way. There's a much better way of doing this that's going to make us a better soccer nation. But we've got to get Major League Soccer on board with that. If Major League Soccer doesn't believe that their function is to make us a better soccer nation, and they're just all about themselves, then we got a bigger problem than we thought.
Well, I think we all know it's first and foremost probably a money-making organization, right? And they've been very successful at that. Nobody's ever going to deny that Sunil Gulati and Dan Flynn, they've done a wonderful job of turning it into an organization that makes a lot of
money. Well, I'm going to stop you there. Look, Glenn, we get money from television, endorsements, and essentially what the national team does. That's 87% of the money that comes in. That's like falling into a bucket of money. It's not really that difficult. The television money that comes in, my problem is we're sitting on $160 million that we don't know what to do with.
Well, that's distribution and using it to grow the sport and player development. That's the question, right?
Well, are they? You asked me the question because you can't figure out.
No, I think the needle has to move more back towards the actual game and the authenticity of the game and the people playing it.
Correct. Look, there's so many things that need to be addressed. I mean, you know, sometimes the Federation acts like a collection agency for these adult organizations and the youth organizations. That money, that dollar a player, $6 million could be so much better, put better use to it by giving it back to the state associations and or U.S. club to allow them to create more programs, to build more fields. And this is something that has caused a major issue right now with these academy systems that are growing way too fast. And there's a growing concern because you talk about academy systems that aren't producing players. It looks more like a money grab than anything else. And you have people believing that if they don't make the academy, that they'll never have a career. And then you have six tiers of an academy at the under 15s. You can't, in one club, that's not an academy.
No.
That's not an
three
academy.
Three teams, two and three teams practicing together at the same night with one coach on a half a field. And, you know, these are just basics that if anybody's doing that, they should be called on the carpet for it. The last thing, before I let you go, this ideology, the whole winning, do you think the mentality of parents and people running clubs can be changed to sway it back towards the player?
I think the real education here is when you grow up in Germany, you grow up in Spain and France, England, you have a club. And that doesn't make that, okay, let's say the club that you play for isn't Arsenal, but it's in London and it's a smaller club and that's your club. And you stay there until that's why this solidarity payment is so interesting, because right now, our kids are all over the place. They'll play for any team that'll take them. They don't have any respect for the shirt because the shirt color changes twice a week. So teaching kids that the importance of, you know, of a club environment and the educational process for the parents to understand that this is how this works. You don't just have a couple of bad games and then decide, oh, we're out of here.
Chatted up by the guy next door.
Yeah, so I'm going to go do something else because I didn't like the way the week went for my son. That's a massive component of this, because if the Federation does their job, they'll essentially get to those parents, educate them at the beginning of the process, so they understand how detrimental their attitudes are to the development of their players or their kids. And that's something that you can do more. And it's a long drawn out conversation for another time. But look, we're going to change this. Soccer people are going to be making soccer decisions in this country. And the one result that we all want, and I think we all want the same thing, is the soccer will get better and we will be a better soccer nation because of it. And I think we're getting there. It's just going to be a long road. It's a long fight. It's a big challenge, but I'm up for it.
Eric, thank you very much for coming on tonight and sharing some of your thoughts, some of your ideas. Great talking to you, and we do very much appreciate you coming on the program.
No, I appreciate you as well.
All right. That's Eric Winalda. Pretty interesting stuff there.